Let's catch up on some of the sport that's been and some that is coming up. We welcome RNZ sports reporter Joe Porter. Kia ora, Joe.
Kia ora.
Good news, is it, for NZR that one of its stars is signing on, but a bit of a sabbatical as well. What's which of the Barrett brothers has just done this deal?
Well, it's Geordie Barrett, the youngest of the three that play for the All Blacks, the All Blacks midfielder these days, although he has, of course, played on the wing and at fullback. He's signed until the end of 2028, which means he's going to be part of the New Zealand rugby fold until after the next World Cup, 2027, in Australia. So that is good news for Scott Robertson, the new All Blacks coach, and New Zealand rugby in general, having a tried and true player of his quality sticking around until at least the end of the next World Cup. He sticks around for the Hurricanes too, of course, which is good for them, top of the table. And he's obviously enjoying his time in Wellington and with that team under new coach Clark Laidlaw at the moment. But yes, he's heading off to Leinster for 6 months in December on one of these increasingly popular sabbaticals among senior All Blacks, who get them in their contract to take a bit of time off and go on what they say is to refresh the mind and body. But let's be honest, it's really to go and earn a big wad of cash. And essentially, the what is the off-season in New Zealand, December through to, he'll miss Super Rugby, of course, next year, December through to whatever 6 months is after that, May next season in 2025. So yeah, he goes to and misses next season with the Hurricanes. Hopefully they win the title this year. I'm a Wellington fan, of course. But if he doesn't, he gets to go away to Leinster, where he has a bit of a family connection. His father, Kevin, who was, of course, a former Hurricane and Taranaki lock, went over to somewhere nearby and played for a second division side and ran a farm in the Leinster province. So he does have a bit of a family connection there, spent some time there as a youngster. So going back to do a bit of that, and good news for New Zealand rugby. But yeah, Geordie Barrett won't solve all your problems come next World Cup. But of course, that's another reason why he stayed on too. He's obviously very disappointed to have missed out on the World Cup final last year, losing by 1 point. So he's keen to have another crack because he hasn't won one yet.
Yeah, don't bring back memories of that PTSD. Kevin Barrett, an interesting character, good rugby player himself. I don't know whether it's myth or fact that he retired from rugby, saying, I'm retiring, right. I'm going to raise some rugby players.
Yeah, raise some All Blacks, that's right.
Raise some All Blacks, was it? Well, he did that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he certainly did, didn't he? Three of them, and he's got a whole way. They've got a lot of kids, the Barretts, and they're all very talented in different ways.
Well, I often wonder what on earth it's like for those parents with three boys on the field for all sorts of reasons.
Yes.
You think you've got nerves when you're watching a test match, try that. Now, Hurricanes, what's happened to them? Unbeaten, leading Super Rugby.
I know, and as a long-time Wellington and Hurricanes supporter, you never want to count your chickens. You never expect too much, and it won't be until they reach the Super Rugby final that I even allow myself the chance to sort of expect them or envision them winning the Super Rugby competition. It happened in 2015 when they lost to the Highlanders in the final. I was at that game watching it from the stands, and it was very, very disappointing. And so that enigmatic mercurialness of the Hurricanes, well, they seem to have managed to move past that this year. New coach Clark Laidlaw comes from the New Zealand Sevens side, and he has coached the New Zealand under-20s before, and they've got a very good, young, solid group of forwards at the Hurricanes, which they haven't necessarily had in the past always. They've often had flashy backs, but not always that type five that can get things done. But they've got some great loose forwards in the likes of Braden Uwasi, who's been very impressive at the back of the scrum. But they've got some young front rowers, you know, Asafo Amoa being one of them, who's already an All Black, and some good hard-working players in that tight five that, really have stepped things up. Their set piece has been impressive this year. They've been consistent despite injuries. They've got a young squad with some no-names essentially in it, and they've all really stepped up when they've had to. They've lost Cam Roygaard, an All Black halfback, possibly their star player, but they've seemed to have replaced him really well with TJ Perenara. They're going all guns blazing. They're a cohesive unit, and I wouldn't have expected them to win 7 on the trot. I keep expecting to wake up on a Saturday or Sunday having not watched the game and to find out they've lost. But no, long live this winning run by the Hurricanes.
Oh, you're going to start a Warriors kind of saying, aren't you? Sooner or later, aren't you? Hey, let's talk about Opiki. It finished last weekend. The Blues women take their first win. Controversy for another epic kind of scheduling fail for New Zealand rugby. But anyway,
yes.
Tell us about the game.
Yeah, well, it was a fantastic game, and the Blues women went into it as underdogs, actually, despite the Chiefs having lost their last two games, which included a loss to the Blues women. So the Chiefs Manawa were favourites to win that title, but they obviously went in with losing momentum. Didn't seem to faze them. They raced out to an early lead. I think it was 8-5 at halftime, and then 18-5 to the Chiefs, and the Chiefs' mana were in the second half. The Blues really did have to come back at Eden Park, and that's what they did, scoring the last three tries of the game to seal their maiden Opiki title. A deserved win for the Blues women. They had the best season. They went unbeaten through the round robin final and were the most consistent side. So well done to them. Caitlin Bakakolo on the wing, very impressive. Looks like some of those players are likely to earn Black Caps recalls. Their contracted list of players is announced later this week, so we should see a few Blues, you'd imagine, on that list of contracted Black Ferns for the season. But yes, of course, not the best of scheduling to put it up against club rugby time in Auckland. They did move the women's club rugby, but it still clashed with the men's, and of course the Warriors game, the big ticket across town at Mount Smart Stadium against the Sea Eagles. But there you go. Hopefully they live and learn from that one.
Okay, just quickly on the Warriors, a draw at the weekend in that big match, actually, but they're still going pretty well. Let's look at the cricket. We've just had the end of the women's series here, New Zealand versus England. It was great cricket weather going into April, and there was some good games, but a bit of a disappointing outcome. There was so many missed opportunities for that young Kiwi side. What are the Black Caps up to now? When are they next in action?
Yeah, they're in Pakistan at the moment for a five-match T20 series, just T20s, which starts on Friday, I believe. And, of course, a big year in terms of T20 cricket for the Black Caps with the World Cup coming up in June, I believe it is, mid-June in the US and the Caribbean, which would be a wonderful tournament to go to as a media operator. Wouldn't that be fantastic? But, so the Black Caps in Pakistan, they've got a few debutants in their squad, of course, as well. They have a few players that had to pull out due to various injuries. There's Zach Folkes, the young Canterbury all-rounder, largely picked for his bowling. He comes into the side. Tom Bruce was considered for selection, but he was made himself unavailable for family reasons. And Tom Blundell, of course, Tom Blundell went last year, and he comes into the side, of course, with Finn Allen and Adam Milne being ruled out. So a couple of younger players looking to impress ahead of a T20 World Cup, a Black Cap side looking to sort of capitalise on a chance to play in subcontinent cricket too. It's always good to get over to those areas and get a bit of experience. But it's hard to know what to expect from the Pakistan team. They seem to have named a fairly strong side. They've recalled a few players, although a few others have been ruled out with injury. So I guess it's essentially them. This is really, after the Australian series, of course, and all the excitement around that and the test matches as well, and they did play T20s, but this really, I guess, is the start of that long T20 campaign towards the World Cup, with, of course, some games against England to come as well.
Look, what's the Michael Slater story? Highly accomplished Australian batsman, but has he run into some legal trouble here? I'm not familiar with this.
Yeah, well, this isn't the first time, obviously, he's been in a bit of trouble. But, former Australian Test cricketer and, of course, commentator Michael Slater, he had been previously charged with some domestic violence offences against his ex-wife or ex-partner in Australia, and he has been on bail for that recently. Now it seems to, while he's been on bail in Queensland in the Sunshine Coast area, he's gone on to breach those domestic violence restraining orders and a few other instances. He's been charged with multiple offences, largely relating to domestic violence, assault, occasioning bodily harm, strangulation, unlawful stalking, entering a dwelling by breaking in at night, four counts of common assault, intimidation. He also, obviously, of course, breached his bail conditions as well. So the 54-year-old's been charged with a litany of offences. He's appeared in court briefly. He's been remanded in custody in Queenstown. Obviously, he has some fairly significant issues to face there with it when it comes to dealing with whatever has happened with his ex-spouse. And obviously, nothing good going on. He's clearly, he's broken the law, and we'll find out in a court whether or not he's guilty of what he's been accused of.
Yeah, Queensland, of course, not Queenstown, but Queensland, but thank you.
Queensland, sorry.
Yes. Okay, thank you for catching us up on it. Now, netball, the ANZ Premiership started last weekend. This is another sport that's really in a kind of a... I was talking about this with Dana on Friday. It's at a pretty pivotal time in terms of keeping the public interested in these competitions, building support, and also just the financial sort of stability of some of these franchises. How did the Premiership get off on its first weekend?
Yeah, well, it was a really interesting game that kicked things off between the Northern Mystics, who were defending champs from last season, and the Bay of Plenty Waikato Magic. And the first game of the season, there were two sin binnings, which I have not seen before in a netball match. These new sort of rules have come into play with regards to contact around the head and the neck. I guess it's somewhat similar to what we're seeing in rugby and other sports around the world, trying to minimise the amount of times that happens. And so, yeah, we're seeing players cop these contact charges and being sin binned and sent off the court which is quite an interesting development within the sport. The Mystics won that one, of course, and the Pulse, they're not looking too bad either. They were knocked out in the elimination final by the Northern Stars last year, beating finalists, but the Pulse managed to get one up over them over the weekend as well, which was another good result for the Central Pulse. And the Tactics, of course, the Southern Steel, they look to be everyone's whipping team again this year. They're on an 18-game losing streak and started the season with a heavy loss to the Tactics last night in Christchurch. So things not looking a lot better for the Southern Steel this year. But yeah, there's a lot of interesting off-court, I guess, news items or issues rolling around with it. They're yet to ANZ Premiership New Zealand Network yet to finalise their broadcasting deal going forward. This is the last season, I think, of their current deal, so that is set to be announced fairly soon, I imagine. And what kind of a deal they've managed to sew up with Sky or whomever it may be with that broadcast deal was with will be interesting, because that, of course, filters down into how much they can pay their players, how strong the competition can be, who they can attract, and all those sorts of things. Yeah. And of course, there's a lot of debate around whether or not we need to join the Australian competition, whether or not we need to allow more international players into the New Zealand competition to try and strengthen up those Silver Ferns against the likes of England, Australia and Jamaica, as they haven't had the best of run in the last few years under Dame Noel Lang.
Okay, some golf now, and let's just catch up with what is happening with some of the major tournaments at the moment.
Yeah, well, the Masters, of course, have just finished on Monday afternoon, New Zealand time, and Ryan Fox didn't go quite as well as he did last year. I think he was tied for about 26 last year, this time finishing tied for around 36, 37, 38. So, another great experience for Ryan Fox. It was an incredibly exciting morning on Friday morning last Friday when he was leading the Masters during the first round for a period of time. Shot an eagle in that first round and had a couple of birdies and was looking hot, red hot. Of course, the favourites then started to come out on course, and he eventually dropped down the order and never quite really sort of troubled the leaders again, although I do believe he was up to about as high as fourth during his third round. But in the last round, it was sort of a little bit of an up and down tournament for Ryan Fox, a little bit erratic, kind of summed up by his final round where he had a 3-over par, I believe, to end up on 7-over par for the tournament, about 18 shots off the winner, Scotty Scheffler from America, who was 11 under or so. He, started, he had a couple of great birdies. He fired an eagle, but there were also sort of 4 bogeys and a double bogey. So that was Ryan Fox, some sublime golf, but some also not so good stuff for Ryan Fox. And Scotty Scheffler, the winner of the American, that's his second Masters title in 3 years. He won in 2022 at Augusta. That's only two Masters titles. He's not yet of the LIV Golf stable, so that would have pleased the traditionalists, the PGA Tour fans of the game. He's not part of the Breakaway Tour in Saudi Arabia. He played some sublime golf. He was way out ahead of most people, the overnight leader going into the final round. He was challenged by the young Swede, who I forget his name off the top of my head, who did put a bit of pressure on him in that final round, but every time the pressure was put on Scotty Scheffler, he managed to find another way to find another birdie and keep that score ticking over. So, yeah, another great 4 rounds of golf from Scotty Scheffler. Very important, very impressive. You'd call it a dominant Masters win. And Ryan Fox's second taste at the Masters would have been fantastic. Just his family there as well.
Just a minute left to touch on the football, and you're going to get all parochial again because it is going to be a home game for the Phoenix, a home semi. And actually, I was reading a really interesting article about the sort of use it or lose it situation the Phoenix is in at the moment for the crowd, right? They deserve a good turnout at this quarter, at the semi-final.
Yeah, they certainly do. The Hurricanes got a decent crowd last week against the Chiefs. You'd hope that could be repeated for the Phoenix. They are chasing, their first ever silver wear, the minor premiership of the A-League. They're top of the table, level on points with Central Coast, just behind on points difference. So a massive, massive game for the Phoenix. You hope the crowd gets out and supports them, trying to chase their first ever piece of silver wear. And the minor premiership in that competition would be no mean feat.
Very good. Thanks very much for that. Much appreciated. That is Joe Porter, who is RNZ sports reporter.